This is B and Aileen, and we will be talking about Fahrenheit 451, Part 3. The topic of our discussion today will be society.
So I want to start off our discussion with 110. It was when Mildred had just left Montag, and Montag is being forced to Bernetta's house. A great nuzzling gout of fire leapt out at the books and knocked them against the wall. He stepped into the bedroom and fired twice, and the twin beds went up in a great simmering whisper with more heat and passion and light than he would have supposed them to contain. He burnt the bedroom walls and the cosmetics chest because he wanted to change everything, the chairs, the tables, and in the dining room, the silverware and plastic dishes. Everything that showed that he had lived there, here in this empty house, with a strange woman who would forget him tomorrow, who had gone and quite forgotten him already, listening to her seashell radio pour in on her and as she rode across town alone. And as before, it was good to burn. He felt himself gush out in fire, snatch, rend, rip in half with flame, and put away the senseless problem. If there was no solution, well, now there was no problem either. Fire was the best for everything. I think that this quote is the author trying to show the reader that Montag has finally purged his old self and anything that has represented him in a time where he didn't know who he was. Because I feel like the author's trying to show that now, at this point in his life, Montag has finally realized what his purpose is in this society, because he doesn't want to just kind of conform to societal norms. He wants to continue to break societal norms, and the author's trying to represent that he's purging everything that has ever represented him when he wasn't at this point in his life.
Yeah, I agree. I think that, like, Montag, like, the fire is, like, I think it also kind of represents society.
Yeah.
Like, I think the fire is, like, how they deal with everything, and I think it represents the government, like, taking away anything that's different. And so a quote I have to go along with that is, this is Beatty talking to Montag, and it says, "What is there about fire that's so lovely? No matter what age we are, what draws us to it?" Beatty blew out the flame and lit it again. "It's perpetual motion, the thing man wanted to invent but never did, or almost perpetual motion. If you let it go on, it'd burn our lifetimes out. What is fire? It's a mystery. Scientists give us gobbledygook about friction in molecules, but they don't really know. Its real beauty is that it destroys responsibility and consequences. A problem gets too burdensome, then into the furnace with it. Now, Montag, you're a burden, and fire will lift you off my shoulders, clean, quick, sure. Nothing to rot later. Antibiotic, aesthetic, impractical." So I think that the author, like, was making this as a reference to society. I think she was saying that, like, the fire is like the government, as I said before. It's just them trying to take anything away that they can, and like fire, they just let it burn. Like, they have no remorse towards what they take.
So do you think that that's kind of a connection to how Montag now sees fire now that he's a changed person? Because kind of how he used to see it was that it fixes all of the problems, but now he kind of sees it as more of a fake solution, or like a temporary solution to anything that the government doesn't want. Do you see any kind of connection between those two things?
I think he's like kind of in awe with fire, but it's kind of like a gruesome relationship.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he feels that fire, it doesn't like fix a problem, it destroys the problem. Like, it shatters mm-hmm. whatever was left of like the it just shatters whatever was left of, like, something that needs to be taken away.
Right, and in the first quote that I mentioned, it said, "If there was no solution, well, then now there was no problem either. Fire was the best for everything." So this is when he's kind of in this moment of, he doesn't know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he knew, but now he doesn't. And he's talking about how, basically just what you said, that fire is the solution because if it just burns every problem.
So I have a question for you relating to Montag kind of having, like, self-realization. Do you think that he's going to take, like, a drastic action because he doesn't really know who he is anymore?
Well, obviously, as we see later in the story, he does something that's going to most likely help society in the future when it is rebuilt. But at the point of view from this part of the book and this part of the plot, I think that we could probably predict that he was going to do something that was out of character for him. So I actually want to talk about one of the biggest things in this entire part of the book. It was that Beatty wanted to die. So it was talking about on page 113 how Montag realized that he never burned the right things. He says, Montag only said we never burned right. And then, like, directly after this, he's talking about how he actually burnt the person who was making him think that he couldn't change as a person and that he needed to fit the societal norms. And then on page 116, he has the realization that Beatty actually wanted to die because he was taunting Montag and he gave him a weapon. So what do you think made Beatty want to die?
This is kind of a complex situation, mm-hmm. but I think that Beatty, he just had been living in this endless cycle of, like, a fire, basically just burning everything that was different, and I think he eventually just got sick of it. Like, imagine living your life and you just took away anything that was interesting about the world, and mm-hmm. I think eventually just kind of broke him. And I think that kind of started to happen to Montag, which is why I have a quote to support that. And it says, the sun burned every day. It burned time. The world rushed in a circle and turned on its axis. And time was busy burning the years and the people anyway, without any help from him. So if he burned things with the firemen and the sun burned time, that meant that everything burned. One of them had to stop burning. The sun wouldn't, certainly. So it looked as if it had to be Montag and the people he had worked with until a few hours ago. So I think that this is, like, showing that, like, Montag realizes that, like, everything in his world is kind of being taken away from him, mm-hmm. how he references everything is burning, and I think him saying he needs to stop. So you think that's why Montag wants to join the rebellion, because he wants to, like, get back what he lost?
I feel like that's part of it. He wants to join the rebellion because he lost so much time thinking that he needed to fit this form of a person that he didn't even know, because... But I don't know, I feel like he, in some way, wanted it for himself. He wanted to have it represent something for himself rather than just being, I want to change society. It wanted to be for himself so he could say, not only am I doing this for the greater good of society, but I'm also doing this because I want to do it and I want to be a better person.
Yeah, and so regarding, like, the rebellion and stuff, so we realized on, like, page 140-ish mm-hmm. that there is a rebellion, and they hide in plain sight. Like, they're normal yeah. people, but... So this is kind of going to explain it. This is one of the people, Granger, talking to Montag mm-hmm. and telling him about the rebellion. And so this is what Granger says. We're book burners, too. Read the books and burnt them, afraid they'd be found. Microfilming didn't pay off. We were always traveling. We didn't want discovery. We would build... Sorry, I messed up. We were always traveling. We didn't want to bury the film and come back later. Always a chance of discovery. Better to keep it in the old heads where no one can see it or suspect it. We are all bits and pieces of history and literature and international law. Byron, Tom Paine, Machiavelli, or Christ, it's here. And the hour's late, and the war's begun. And we are out here, and the city is there, all wrapped up in its own coat of 1,000 colors. So I think that, like, this is showing that, like, there are people there, but they're just right under the surface. Like, the government doesn't know what they do, and they, like, when, like, a rebellion comes, they're going to be the people that rise up. So do you think Montag is going to be one of those people?
I feel that once Montag kind of further goes down this path as to who he wants to be as a person, he's going to discover that this would be the right way to go, as opposed to trying to figure it out for himself, because by being a part of a cause and by having a leader and by having a purpose, I think that's what's going to make Montag want to continue to be a part of society rather than completely disregarding it and just kind of being on his own as he was planning on doing, just like walking until he met Faber. So I think that by giving Montag a cause, he's going to want to continue to be a helpful person in society. And I have a question about the actual cause and one of the people who was talking about it. He was talking about how when people die, we're talking about how, like, we don't miss them, we miss what they did. And it was on page 149. He said, and when he died, I suddenly realized I wasn't crying for him at all, but for the things he did. I cried because he would never do them again. He would never care another piece. He would never carve another piece of wood or help us raise doves and pigeons in the backyard or play the violin the way he did or tell us jokes the way he did. So these people are obviously very knowledgeable, and they know what, and they have experienced a lot more than Montag has. So do you think that these people ever at some point were like Montag and that they were looking for a cause and they knew that at some point society wouldn't be successful? Do you think that at some point they were in Montag's shoes?
I think that these people, they all, like, I think that they all came from, like, different walks of life, but I think they all had that moment where they were like, what has our society come to?
Yeah.
And, like, what are we doing? Like, why are we all conforming? So I have a question to you, and I was wondering if, like, relating to the conformity of their society, do you see any of that in, like, our lives today, like, people conforming to the norms?
In our society, I see that even in just our school, there are a lot of people who, by fitting into a norm, they aren't going to be bullied, or they're not going to be harassed, or they're not going to be made fun of, and I think that by making fun, that by being scared of being made fun of, that's what makes people want to conform to the norms and not want to speak out. And a lot of things nowadays with not speaking out, it's because you're kind of too afraid of what might happen if you do speak out. So yeah, basically to answer your question, I do see a lot of that. But also, those people who don't conform to the norms, I think that they're really the people who are eventually going to be leaders and who are going to lead our society into the right way of life.
I agree with you. I think that there's, like, this expectation of what people should act like, and I think that it just causes people to get rid of what makes them different because they want to achieve that expectation, even if it's not who they are as a person. And I think that's kind of, like, how Mildred in the book was, like, she was, like, she tried to act like everything was perfect, even though she did have troubles, and I think I see that today.
So while we're still talking about society, I want to talk about one of the quotes from the people who were, were a part of the group memorizing books. Did they have a name?
No, they were just like the rebellion.
Okay, so the rebellion. A member of the rebellion talked about when they rebuild society. This is what they're talking about on page 157. Come on now, we're going to build a mirror factory first and put out nothing but mirrors for the next year and take a long look at them. I have a feeling that this was the author trying to show us that in society, we really need to take a step back and look at ourselves and look at who we are and what we symbolize as a civilization. Because in the book, obviously, it's kind of dystopian, so you're trying to see a different way of life. But I think this is the author trying to show us that we really need to take a step back. Not only the characters in the book need to take a step back, but also in real life and society, we need to kind of figure out what we are supposed to symbolize and what our purpose is.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think, like, looking into the mirror, I think the author's trying to say that, like, the people in the book and ourselves in society today, we need to find who we are.
Yeah.
Like, we're always, like, trying to be like other people, but I think looking in a mirror, you need to decide who you are and who you want to be as a person. And I think that reflects onto Fahrenheit 451 and us in society today.
So I want to talk about another thing in regards to society, and you were kind of mentioning it earlier, when a part of the rebellion was trying to show Montag, like, the TV and what was going on, it was talking about how the person that the mechanical hound found wasn't even actually Montag. And I think that this is also symbolizing, like you were mentioning earlier, like, if you look too closely, you're gonna see all of the flaws, and you're gonna see what the government doesn't want us to think, like, in this picture of society. And I think that that's really important to show that in this book, not only in this book but also in society, we need to look closely at what's happening so that we can be informed and so that we can know what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And then actually my final question for you is the ending. What do you think that that symbolizes? What do you think that this is going to mean for the rest of what we don't see?
So the ending is right after the bombs drop on the city,
right?
And it's Montag and the other rebels, they're going to the city, and I think that this is them going to rebuild the city, because they were talking about how they're waiting for a war to end so that they can go in there and be the people to help rebuild the city and help to, like, integrate knowledge back in. And I think that's them just going in there ready to help others and ready to, like, share what they know.
And that's really similar to my thinking, and I also thought that it was about how they're ready to go full force and take everything by storm and be ready to help rebuild society, even if people don't agree with them, they're ready to fight for what they believe in and fight for what society used to look like.
Thanks for listening. This has been Bean Aileen with Fahrenheit 451 Part 3.